on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app.
Championship sports play here. From the college tournament through the NBA Finals. Hear it all on Sacramento's ESPN 1320. Streaming on the radio.com app.
Get you caught up on a little bit of what's trending here on Golic and Wingo. The Rockets, not so great. Went 7-42 from three to drop their second straight game in blowout fashion. They lost to the Clippers 120-105. And they lost to the Knicks on Monday night. We kind of swept that one under the rug because the Knicks were doing other stuff too.
Exactly, but right.
Rockets, there were things going on with the Knicks?
2 of 22 from three in the first half. They ended their streak of 18 straight games with 10 or more threes going back to January 20th. James Harden was 4 of 17 from the field and missed all 8 threes he attempted. Finished with just 16 points. Kawhi Leonard, good at basketball, scored 25 points. The Clippers win their 6th straight. Quietly, I can say, watch out for that one, too. No one talking about the Clippers right now. Not getting the respect they deserve.
Mm-hmm. We'll talk about them this weekend.
Anyway, in the NHL, Mika Zibanejad scored 33 seconds into overtime for his 5th goal of the night to give the Rangers a 6-5 win over the Capitals and snap a 3-game losing streak. Zibanejad is now the 2nd player in NHL history to score his 5th goal in overtime. He's the 3rd player in Rangers history with a 5-goal game and the 4th player in NHL history to score a goal in all 4 periods, including overtime. And finally, the Redskins, given Pro Bowl left tackle Trent Williams permission to seek a trade, according to our own Diana Russidi. The 31-year-old Williams held out all of last season, citing issues with the medical staff of his former team president, Bruce Allen. Williams had a cancerous tissue removed from his scalp and was upset about how the situation was handled by the team, but he would have reported to the Redskins if they had guaranteed the final 2 years of his contract. He now has 1 year left at $12.5 million. However, none of it guaranteed. That's what's trending, brought to you by Redbox. Rent Knives Out tonight. Nothing brings the family together quite like a murder in a twist-filled mystery.
It's a good movie.
Head to your local Redbox and stream instantly on demand.
All right, Golic and Wingo with you, presented by Progressive Insurance. Pick from a range of coverage options with the Name Your Price tool to find a price that works for you. That's a perfect read for this segment, because it works perfectly with what we're heading into, free agency. Pick a range of coverage options and the Name Your Price tool to find a price that works for you and your team. We have a lot of offensive lineman news over there. We had the swap of guards between the Chargers and the Panthers. Jason Peters and the Eagles have decided they're going to go to mutually part ways. And he's going to go to free agency. And then we have the Trent Williams situation. So
Big boy talk.
It is big boy talk, like the biggest of big boy talk.
Thicko mode.
Thick mode. So the question then becomes, with all these offensive linemen potentially out there, how many of them can be dangled and say, hey, Tom, look what we have. If you want to come to us as a 43-year-old quarterback, how would you like Trent Williams or Jason Peters to be protecting your blind side here?
Well, I think it depends on your team. If you're Tennessee, you don't need that.
Well, they may lose Jack Conklin.
No, Conklin they may, but their left tackle is Taylor Lewan. They're not going to trade.
By the way, his penalties were killing the team last year.
But that was
one of the greatest rants of all time.
They're not doing that, though. Yeah. Anthony Costanzo, he ended up back with the Colts.
Yes.
So he's going to end up back there. So that's another team if they're in going after Tom Brady.
The Raiders' offensive line is set right now.
Yeah, they're not going to be moving
pieces there. Maybe you could say the Chargers, because they lost, they traded Russell Okung to there. But bottom line, it makes it interesting because we're also in a draft that's as top-heavy and rich at offensive tackle as one we've seen in a while. So how does that happen? The free agency outside of the quarterback world is kind of fascinating, right?
Like, yes.
Through all of this conversation that's been so clouded by all these big names, we got some pretty important pieces that are going to be on the move potentially this offseason.
Jadeveon Clowney was the number one overall pick, in 2012? It was 2012 or 2013. He was the number one overall pick, and he played
2014.
And he played really well down the stretch. Yeah, Andrew Luck was number one in 2012. Sorry about that. He played really well down the stretch for Seattle, and he could stay in Seattle. He could go somewhere else. Derrick Henry. Now, I find him fascinating, okay? Because obviously, we know the running back position wears down. And obviously, a bruising running back is going to wear down faster than an elusive back, for lack of a better term. But my God, no one was more sure of their ability to do the thing that they could do almost better than anyone than what Derrick Henry did last year for the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, I would be stunned if Derrick Henry's not back in Tennessee, quite honestly. And then it's about team, too. If you look at a team like the Patriots, look at a Hunter Henry and Austin Hooper. You know, they need tight ends, right? I mean, and
desperately.
If they, in fact, if they do get Tom Brady back, let's just go that route. I'm saying of building a team, you're not gonna draft a, and there are no rookies that are even put in the first round. Doesn't mean they can't be very productive in their first year, but I don't think Bill would want to go in with a first year guy and rely on them. So you got a couple out there. So obviously, free draft, a lot of times you go, especially early on, for that best player. We know free agency is about need and fit. And a team like New England, you kind of look at a couple of tight ends that would be available.
Outside of quarterback, who's the biggest guy you guys think is available right now?
Probably Clowney because of the position that he plays, right? I mean, like, this league is about quarterback, protect the quarterback, get to the quarterback, right?
I would say Clowney, Chris Jones.
Yeah, Chris Jones to me is the interesting one in all of this because I'd argue he's better and more consistent than Jadeveon Clowney's been. Jadeveon Clowney's never had the sack numbers to really back it up. He's been big in pressures and great in stopping the run. But Chris Jones is, as we've talked, and we went through this exercise with Aaron Donald when we were talking about the Rams paying him a couple years ago now, which is the value of interior pass rush in this day and age in the NFL.
Totally agree.
And the way the league has gone there, I could argue Chris Jones might be the name.
I would take Chris Jones over Jadeveon Clowney.
The only thing I would say about that is, like, sacks are great, but sacks at times are the outlier. Pressures, I think, are more important to me than sacks.
It is. Well, I need to see the pressure numbers, too, because I don't have them in front of me, and I know Jadeveon.
How dare you not have the – you shan't have –
Last year, Jones had 58 total pressures, fourth most among interior defensive line.
Yeah.
And we know that was Chris Jones, who was banged up a little bit towards the end of the year. Missed a playoff game, if I'm not mistaken.
You are correct.
There was all that factored into it. He seemed like there were times where he was the most important player on or off the field for the Kansas City Chiefs, especially defensively last year. Defensively.
Okay. The thing about him, though, is I don't think he's going anywhere because they're going to put the tag on him. And if they don't get a long-term deal, he's going to be tagged. Now, we had Jeff Darlington in with us who said that could get a little messy.
We've seen people get traded off the tag.
Yeah.
You know,
I think of all the players, to your point, I think all the players on defense, him and Tyrann Mathieu are the two most important players on defense on that Chiefs squad. So I just don't see him really being available.
How about Amari Cooper?
Well, the Cowboys have all kinds of problems. they have painted themselves into a very interesting corner.
You also open this up to guys that could potentially be tagged, because if we're talking about the two tags, there was the idea that he could get one of them in Dallas, the transition tag.
Exactly. So they have, again, till March 12th. To decide to tag people.
That's the other thing. So it's interesting. We mentioned with the tackles there, but also with the wide. Like, are you gonna pay a ton of money for a wide receiver in this draft? Like, we're talking about a draft where we've heard Todd McShay say
seven.
You're going to get potentially like first round caliber wide receivers in the third round of this draft.
I bring the team up again. I bring up New England again. You know, they went young in quarterback or in wide receiver last year, then Keel Harry, who ended up getting hurt a little bit. But, you know, Bill loves the veterans. He tried it with Josh Gordon and with Antonio Brown.
Sanu had ankle surgery,
right,
too.
So does he try it again with another veteran, Bill?
I mean, Amari
Their offense was not explosive at all last year once those two guys
left. Not a bit. Now, with Amari, you'd have to pay more than they usually like to pay.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
Bill does pennies on the dollar. He does dollars on the penny. Let's be clear about that.
Yeah, we got to look for the penny stocks if we're going to talk about who the Patriots are going to ultimately go after in all of this.
But again, he could get away with that because he had Tom Brady.
Right.
And if you don't have Tom Brady, maybe you can't go a penny stock.
Well, maybe then.
That's why everything is so fascinating.
But maybe
about
then you're
this.
In rebuild. Maybe then you draft a wide receiver and start to build up again.
And by the way, their record of drafting wide receivers has been terrible.
Horrible.
It's been really, really bad. Yeah. I think N'Keal Harry can be good.
I do too.
Yeah, but
they're the anti-Steelers.
Literally, you know, with Emmanuel Sanders, Antonio Brown, and Juju Smith-Schuster, you're exactly right. Those two teams' records of drafting wide receivers could not be more polar opposites. We'll have much more on this conversation coming up with Damian Woody in a little bit. Plus, Eric Winston, the head of the NFLPA, is going to join us as we're seeing more and more people put out there publicly. Mm-hmm. I'm voting no on this.
Yep.
But again, I believe, for lack of a better term, that silent majority is going to be the thing that carries the day, the ones we're not hearing about as much, whether they feel strongly for or against the CBA. So we go from the three letters CBA to three more letters, MVP. Is being the best the same as being the MVP? And who really is in charge of that title right now in the NBA's regular season? We'll get to that, Mike, after this.
Cintas provides a wide range of products, the worst mark in Houston's franchise history, and the team attempts at least 40 three-pointers. And on ESPN tonight, Lakers host the Bucks at Staples Center, 10:30 Eastern. For ESPN BPI, the top two teams in the NBA have a 36% chance of meeting in the NBA Finals. That's easily the most likely matchup. Giannis Antetokounmpo is currently heavy favorite to win his second straight MVP, but LeBron has the second best odds in this, according to Caesars Sportsbook. And that is SportsCenter. It's brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Straight Talk Wireless has the full court cell phone coverage you need. Get the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G, for just $45 a month, saving you up to half the cost of the big carriers. Everything for less. Savings may vary. Check out terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
The player sentiment that the NBA is doing things the wrong way is, I think, harmful to the product.
Barrett wants to protect his brand. He thinks he can win by shooting threes. I don't think he can.
All right, Golden Wingo here with you. Real quickly, there's an update on a story that happened yesterday in the NFL. Quinnen Williams, the third overall pick of the Jets last year's draft, is in trouble. He was arrested for having a gun, a Glock, in a bag that he was trying to bring on a plane. He was issued a March 25th court date, and he's facing some serious charges here with that. The Jets have issued a statement saying, "We are fully aware of the situation. We will have no additional comment at this time. Is it a pending legal matter?" He's charged with having an unlawful possession of a loaded handgun, has a minimum sentence of 3.5 years in prison. By law, he will be charged with a felony even if the gun was unloaded. And New York gun laws are some of the very tough and most stringent.
Yes, they are.
Anywhere in the country. I mean, I'll just go back to what happened with Plaxico Burress and the time he spent in jail for that. So it is a very serious situation that Quinnen Williams is facing. It was a Glock 19 handgun that was found in his bag as he was attempting to board a flight at LaGuardia Airport. He was carrying the gun with an Alabama permit, but sometimes those permits do not translate from state to state.
Right.
And again, New York is very stringent along those laws. So the Jets have issued a statement saying we will have no further comment at the time that it is a pending legal matter. But it is a very, very serious situation.
It absolutely is, yeah.
That he is facing there. So we'll let the sort of legalities of that unfold as we will watch that develop in what could be a very interesting story for the Jets in the offseason. Meanwhile, we are in full swing of the NBA's regular season, getting it to close it out here as we are getting close to April, where the playoffs will begin. And, of course, a lot of people have really liked what the Rockets have done this year going small ball. Charles Barkley is not one of them.
Oh, no, he's not.
Here's what Chuck said on the Dan Levitard Show with Stu Gatz about GM Daryl Morey and how he's decided to go fully small with the lineup of Harden and Westbrook.
But I like Daryl Morey. It's nothing personal. I don't think you're going to win with putting a little bunch of leprechauns out there because you're going to get worn down over a seven-game series. And when you start playing the elite teams, they're going to be just as good offensively but much better defensively and on the rebound.
Yeah, Richard Jefferson was on with us earlier and basically said the same thing, maybe not as colorfully as Chuck can say things.
Correct.
But that's, you know, they're going down a road and everybody's wondering, can this road work? And when you shoot 7-for-42 from threes, you know, it's going to cost you. The second worst shooting percentage other than 2018 Game 7 against Golden State when they went 7-of-44 in that game, missing 27.
27 in a row.
Just absolutely incredible. So, you know, when you're playing small ball, you're going to get out-rebounded. They did, not when they got out-rebounded like by 31 by the Knicks. They were only out-rebounded by 6 last night. But they had 13 more shots with the Clippers, but they weren't making their shots. And that's the fear you have when you're playing that kind of ball, especially in seven-game series against the top teams. Can you be consistent enough to get 4 out of those 7 games?
Right, and the team that has done that and has been consistent, that is the team that Tillman Fertitta, the Rockets owner, said they feared that would be the Golden State Warriors. And one of the reasons why, because they had a 2-time MVP in Steph Curry, who could absolutely fill it up. And after missing 58 games, Steph Curry finally came back last night from that broken hand. They did lose to the Toronto Raptors. Yeah, the Raptors are one of the best teams in the NBA.
Well, they are, and nobody thought all of a sudden this team was going to start winning just because Steph was back.
Although we tried to give him an inspirational speech yesterday on the show. Fell a little short. He scored 23 points on 6-of-16 shooting. But for Steph, the idea was just being out there again was a lot of fun.
It was kind of a cool moment with, again, just the excitement, energy in the building. And I didn't really know what to expect, how to handle, like, the minute restriction and all that. Just trying to make my first shot and just get comfortable out there. But throughout the 27 minutes, I felt good. So I'm excited to be back out there. And, you know, we had some good moments. Obviously, Toronto was you know, championship team that has a lot of chemistry, and they know how to win. So for us, it was a good step in the right direction. Everybody just competing, and we can build off of this.
Now, I don't know how much chemistry they have. They have 14 right. wins, and they have no chemistry with Steph Curry.
Correct.
Steph was even talking about how in pregame, how different it was, used to different teammates doing different things in pregame. He didn't have that. And, you know, Steve Kerr talking about the difficulty of calling a lot of plays for this group, and then when Steph gets back, you call fewer plays to help him out. And then there's Steph getting past there's the physical side of, okay, I had a busted hand.
Right.
But then there's the mental side of making sure when the game starts, you just – in, you know, just without thinking, are going to do everything you need to do out on the court.
Right. And you mentioned Steve Kerr. He had a couple of really interesting comments, actually. He said, which is, you know, just a little thing you probably don't think about, because Steph Curry, the dynamic playmaker, wasn't there for all those games, he called a lot of set plays, and the offense would run the set plays. And then he said, well, with Steph back out there, I'm calling a lot less set plays, and basically for the rest of the team, it's just about spacing. Be aware, because Steph's going to do his thing, and you need to allow him to give him the room to do it. And when you mentioned Steph's talking about chemistry and all the stuff going forward, it's not about this year.
No,
it's about next year. And after the game, or was it before the game? Before the game, Steve Kerr was alluding to the idea of, listen, this was a lost year because of Kevin Durant gone and the ACL for Clay and all that kind of stuff. But now that we get Steph back, Clay back, and maybe add some help, what could be the possibility for Golden State in 2020-2021?
And I do think there will be a sense of energy and enthusiasm the rest of the season, because to me, this is sort of the beginning of next season in a lot of ways. And I think we're all starting to get some clarity as far as what our team's going to look like. And having Steph back is obviously a huge, huge part of that. The next step will be, you know, getting Clay back. But that won't be till next season. But I think these last 20 games are really going to be a springboard into next year. So I think that energy will be high and remain high.
And Mike, that leads to the question we've talked about a lot this morning: what's the ceiling or what's the roof to Michael Jordan's comment?
Right.
What is, if you get Clay back and you get Steph back, and Draymond is obviously better mm-hmm. because they're both there, they get some help maybe in free agency, and you think the latest draft
James
has them
Wiseman,
get Wiseman.
Number two, going the seven-footer,
right.
Who was at Memphis, and now just working out for the draft. And some of the guys on right. that team will be bench players
correct.
As well.
But it'll be a different
be around,
team.
Right.
So what's the best-case scenario for them, and what is a even more loaded Western Conference
It
now?
Certainly won't be what they're used to going
right.
in as the heavy favorite.
Correct.
Can anybody knock them off, and they're going to win another championship or at least be in the finals. Again, Richard Jefferson was on earlier. He had him fourth or fifth. We had him maybe third behind the Lakers and Clippers, or Clippers and Lakers, whichever direction you want. You have him in the mix with Houston, with Denver, with Utah. I mean, push comes to shove, I think a lot of people with that group is still going to take Golden State
right.
with Curry, with Clay, with Draymond, and whoever else they may have there. So I would say high-end third,
yeah.
right? I wouldn't even, as long as the Clippers and Lakers come back basically with what they are, they're not going to head those two teams.
No, but then the Warriors could do the thing that would just tick off the entire NBA again, right? If they could somehow sort of say, hey, look, Milwaukee, you're not going to be able to re-sign this guy.
Yeah, what if Giannis doesn't sign that 5-year, $252 million extension?
Yeah. Yeah, and then goes to Golden State. Like, really, we're doing this again? We're taking the best player in the NBA and putting him on our team again? Listen, after a 14-win season, I think you do whatever you feel is necessary to try and get back into the way it used to be.
Yeah, and then everybody will hate on Giannis.
Hate on Giannis again.
On Kevin.
I don't think anybody will ever be hated the way Kevin Durant
no,
was hated for
I know.
This. Because
yeah.
it came after that year where they had
after they
were up,
lost to him.
Yeah, and they were up. They could have won it in Game 6 and then lost
then
it in Game 7.
Then lost to him, said, oh, if you can't beat him, join him.
Exactly.
And yeah. Oh, yeah.
I just don't think anybody's going to get the hate that he got and LeBron got for the way he did
that.
The decision. So that's what happens next year for Golden State. But what happens tonight at the Staples Center? How important is it to deciding who we believe is going to be the actual MVP and who we believe the actual champions are going to be in the NBA? We'll get to that next. Golic and Wingo, ESPN.